For several days now, our Gemaros are dealing with the issues of watchmen, a watchman who swears and claims falsely that something was stolen when in truth he himself is using it, a watchman who uses an object, and all that's included within that. So today's daf will have a whole series of questions about watchmen. So three lines from the very bottom here on Kuv Zayin Amud Beis. Rami Bar Chama had a question. Mamon amachayvo kefil potro min achomesh. Odilma shvu amachayvaso kefil potraso min achomesh. This is a very analytical question. If a watchman swears falsely about money, let's say I say to him, I gave you this precious car to watch. Give it back to me. He says, I never met you. I don't know who you are. I swear to it that I never met you. I never got anything from you. And then a day later, he feels guilty. He comes in. He says, I'm sorry. I lied. I was hiding the car in my own garage. So then he has to pay the principal, give me back the car. He has to add a fifth because of the false oath. And he has to bring a carbon. What happens if he swore to me, I said, where's my car? Give it back to me. He swore to me it was stolen. There's nothing that could be done about it. It's out of his control. He's an unpaid watchman. And then witnesses come and say, no, it wasn't stolen. He himself has it. Then he has to pay double. He has to pay kefil. Once he's paying double, he wouldn't be paying the added fifth, right? Let's say I said to him, where's my car? He swore that it was stolen. Then witnesses come and say it wasn't stolen. He himself has it. Then he says, you know, you're right. I did, in fact, hold on to it. So he wouldn't say he has to pay double plus a fifth. He just pays double, the double, and not the fifth. So how do we understand that? Do we say that an oath that created a double payment doesn't also create a fifth payment? Or money that created a double payment doesn't create a fifth payment? Is it the oath that's already being used to create the double payment can't also be used to create a fifth payment? Or is it that money that's creating a double payment can't also create a fifth payment? So you say, what's the difference? Hey, Kidami, what's the difference? So I'll tell you what it is. Kigon, following case. Let's say I have an unpaid watchman. Shatan Tainas Ganav. I said to my unpaid watchman, give me back my car. He said it was stolen. Vinishba. Then he swore that it was stolen. Then V'chazar. Then I came back to him in another court. And I said in that other court, give me back my car. Vetan Tainas Ava. This time to this court he said, not that it was stolen, he said it was lost. And Vinishba. And he swore in a second court claiming that it was lost. So there were two oaths. One, an oath of theft, and a second oath by the same man of loss. Uvo adima kamaisa. Then witnesses come and say that that first oath was a lie. He had it. He wasn't stealing it. It hadn't been stolen. He himself had it. Now, once the witnesses came about the first oath, he ran to the other court. Vahoda basraisa. He admitted that the second oath was also a lie. So, Mai, what are we going to say now? If we say mamon amechayvaso kefil potro min achomesh, money that was used to create a double obligation can't create a fifth obligation. So this money created the obligation of a double payment when the witnesses came and said that the first oath was a lie. So then he doesn't have to pay the fifth payment. Odilmer, maybe the logic is that shvu amechayvaso kefil potro min achomesh. An oath that obligated him in double is an oath that does not obligate him in a fifth. Hashvua basraisa, the second oath is not obligating him in double. The second oath is only obligating him in a fifth. It's a claim of loss. Ho deloka machayva lekfela, since it never was obligating him in a double payment. Tachayve chumsha, the oath should be able to obligate him in a fifth payment. So it's a very
second oath,
exactly. So Rami Bar Chama is asking a very nice philosophical question. So this law that if a watchman has to pay double, he doesn't also have to pay a fifth, how do we define it? Do we define it as money that's being used to create a double obligation doesn't also get used to create a fifth obligation? Or is it that an oath that created a double obligation doesn't create a fifth obligation? So what's the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. Let's say he swore that there was theft, and then he went and he swore not that there was theft, but that there was loss. Witnesses came and said, not that there was theft, you yourself are the one using it, you're the thief. And then he himself admitted that there wasn't loss, then he himself has it. So if you say money that creates a double obligation can't create a fifth obligation, so once this money is creating the double obligation, because on the first oath he swore and witnesses came, it can't now create a fifth obligation for the second oath. But if you say it's not the money that creates a double obligation can't create a fifth obligation, it's an oath that created a double obligation can't create a fifth obligation, here you have two separate oaths. So the first oath creates a double obligation, but a different oath, which was never creating a double obligation because it was an oath about loss, will create a fifth obligation. He'll end up paying a double, and he'll pay a fifth.
Papa, can you explain the difference? Both of them is the same thing. I'm sure they are meaning something. Lost and nigna.
It's not the same thing. Two different things. Avad means it got lost. Aveda, it got lost. It went missing.
It's the same lie.
No, one is that the animal ran off. The other is a different lie, that the animal was stolen. Two different claims.
So, Rabbi, it has to have a sword involved to make it double, right?
Correct.
And what is it that you have to, you know, for one-fifth?
Once he admits that the oath was a lie, he pays a fifth, typically. But if the oath was an oath of doubling, an oath of theft, and witnesses come, and therefore he's been obligated by the court to pay double, he doesn't also pay a fifth. He just pays double.
So in all cases, swearing means double?
No.
And, depends how the...
And if he lied.
No, it depends how we figured out that he lied in the oath. If we figured out that he lied by witnesses and the oath was about stealing, then he would pay double. But if we figured out that he lied by him admitting, then he doesn't pay double. He only pays a fifth. And now we're talking about in a case where he both admitted and there were witnesses, would he pay both? Would he pay both a double and a fifth? Two different oaths. Amar Rava, so Rava tried to resolve the question of Rami Bar Chama. Tashma, come here, your proof from a Mishnah in Tractate Shavuos. So the Mishnah is not even talking about a watchman. It talks about the following case. Amar Lechman Ashuk, I go over to a man in the market and I say to him, Hechon Shorish Ganavta, where's my ox? Because I know you stole it. Vuomelo Ganavta. He says, I never stole it. So I say to him, 1 second, Ashbiachani. You say you never stole it? I'm placing an oath on you. Amar Aming. He said, yes, fine. I swear I never stole it. Ha'edim, then witnesses show up. Umeidin Osu Shaganavo. And they testify on my behalf that he did steal it. Mishalim Teshlume Kefel. So he now has to pay double. But if before the witnesses come, he admits that he lied in the oath, he has to give me back the stolen object or its value, and he has to give me a fifth, plus he has to bring a karban asham.
Right. It's something that all the time it's... Doesn't make sense for me. I mean, I should pay
too. No, when a person admits he's modeh beknas, he's admitting to a fine. Modeh beknas is pater. Because modeh beknas, if a person admits to the fine, he's pater. When witnesses come, he's not admitting.
Is that after he swore he didn't do it?
Yeah.
After he swore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So now let's go back to this case. It's not a case of a watchman. It's just a claim. I come and claim on someone, you're the thief. He swore that he wasn't. He swore that he never met me, never stole my stuff. And then witnesses come and say that he did. So 1 second. Here it's not a case where the oath is what's making him pay double. When does an oath make a person pay double? When a person's a watchman, he's entitled to the object because he's watching it. And then he swears that it was stolen from him, so the oath makes him pay double. But a regular thief pays double because he stole. Right? I come to a guy in the market, I say, give me back the object you stole from me. that, and witnesses come and say he stole from me, he has to pay me double. It's a typical theft. So here, it's not the oath that's making him pay double.
But when he swears, then he becomes a thief.
No. Yeah. The swearing makes a watchman a thief.
That's what I said.
But here it's not a watchman. I came to the market. In the market, I said to a guy, he's not. I said to him, you stole from me. Then he swears that he didn't steal from me. Then witnesses come and say he stole from me. Imagine that he wouldn't have sworn. And we'd have all the other factors. I come and say, you stole from me. And he says, no, I didn't. He doesn't swear. And then witnesses come and say, he stole from me. Does he have to pay double? Yeah, of course he has to pay double. A guy who steals, and there are witnesses who convict him, has to pay double. So, hacha, eidim u'demachai v'leik feilitz. The witnesses that are making him pay the double, right? And yet, what did the Mishnah say? Hodem e'atzmo in. If... when he swore and witnesses didn't come, but he admitted, then he would have to pay a fifth. Avol hoda achar edim, but if witnesses came, then he pays double. And even if he admits later, he doesn't pay a fifth. Lo. Now, if you're going to say that the idea is that an oath that created a double obligation doesn't create a fifth obligation, so am I, so then why would we say, that if he admitted in this case after the oath, he doesn't pay the fifth. Mechti, let's take a look. This oath is not creating the double obligation. So if the oath is not creating the double obligation, then let it create the fifth obligation. So what do you see? You see that the definition is not this idea. You see, money that created a double obligation can't create a fifth obligation. So here, this money is creating a double obligation. That's why it doesn't create a fifth obligation. Shnamina, and that's in fact a very good proof. That's what you've proven.
When you say witnesses, they have to be two.
Yeah.
What happens if there is only one witness?
So only one witness can create an obligation of an oath.
He
can't take money out of somebody.
So if there is a witness involved, now you go back to double again, or go to the
one? No, if there's a witness involved, let's say I have a witness saying that you owe me money, and you say you don't.
Right.
Then you would have to swear that you don't owe me the money, and then you leave. Once you swear, you're exempt. A single witness can only create an oath obligation. He cannot take money away from someone.
But now, if you're found guilty, you're going to be paying what, double, or
Depends what happens. Depends on the scenario. Depends how you were found guilty.
How is this example explaining that it's about not the oath, but about the mammon?
Because here, it's not a watchman. So since it's not a watchman, it's not that the oath is creating the obligation of double. What's creating the obligation of double is the testimony, the witnesses. So what happened? I came to someone in the street, and I say, you're a thief. You stole from me. He says, no, I didn't. I didn't steal from you. I said, swear to me. He says, okay, I swear, fine. So if he then admits, I swore falsely, he has to pay the principal plus a fifth. But if he didn't admit, rather witnesses came and said he swore falsely, he has to pay double, even if he admits after the witnesses came. Now, 1 second. His paying double is not because of the oath, because he's not a watchman. His paying double is because he's a thief. So, if you're going to say that an oath that creates a double obligation doesn't create the fifth obligation, in this case, since the oath didn't create the double obligation, it's the witnesses who did, then once he admitted that it was a false oath after the witnesses came, he should still be paying a fifth. The fact that he doesn't, he only pays the fifth if witnesses didn't show up and he admitted that it was a false oath, proves that the idea of not having double and a fifth is not because an oath that created double can't create a fifth. It's that money that's being used to create a double obligation can't create a fifth obligation.
So the first one is a double, the second liability.
That's it.
Well,
no, that case, now we're saying that if he first swore that there was a theft and we disproved that, and then he swore somewhere else that there was a loss, and he admitted to that, he would not have to pay the fifth.
That's really a third also, right? If he, from the beginning, he admits, I took it, then he just gives it back, no fine. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, but Ravina had another question. Chomesh ukfeilu betrei gavri. What about when there is a fifth from one person to one person, and double to another person? My, what would the halacha be? Hey Chidan, what's the case? Kigon shemasar show rolush nevnei adam. He gave his ox to two people to watch. V'tanu bo tainas ganav. And they claimed that it was stolen from them. Chad nishba v'hoda. One swore it was stolen, and then he admitted it was a false oath. He admitted that he lied in his oath. So that, if he admits before witnesses come, he doesn't have to pay double, he has to pay the fifth. Chad, the other one, nishba, swore that it was stolen, but he did not admit. Uvo eidim, witnesses came and said that he stole it. So my, what's the halacha? Mi amina, do we say, b'chad gavra kapad rachmanad l'mashalim chum shavikfeila? It's one person that Hashem is insistent he doesn't have to pay both double and a fifth. But here there it's two different people, Haine Shalim Kfeila, Haine Shalim Chumsha. Let the one who admitted pay a fifth, and the one who witnesses came against him pay the double. Or two more, maybe. Iluvei Chad Memona Kapad Rachman Adlo Nesham Alei Chumsha Kfeila. Maybe Hashem is insistent that the same money can't create both a double obligation and a fifth obligation. So since for one person, it's creating a double obligation, it's not going to create for the other person a fifth obligation. Here it's the same piece of money. So take it, we don't know the answer. Another question. Question number three. Boy, Rav Papa. Rav Papa had the following question. Trei chumshi o trei kfeili b'chad gavramai. Would halacha allow for one person to be obligated in two payments of a fifth? Or would it allow for one person to be obligated in two payments of double? Hey, tell me what's the case? You have an unpaid watchman, Shetan Tainas Avad, who claims to the one who deposited the object with him, it got lost. Vinishban, he swore that it was lost. Then Vahoda, he admitted that it wasn't lost. Okay, so that would be an obligation of a fifth. So then the guy goes to a court to try to get him to pay. And a second time he makes these claims. It goes to a second court. Again he claims, oh, it was lost. Vinishban, he swore that it was lost. Behold, then he admits a second time that he lied about the oath. Inami, alternatively, first court, the watchman claimed it was stolen. Vinishban, he swore that it was stolen. Uvo Edom, but then witnesses came and said, no, he himself has it. Then he ran to a second court. We tried to collect the judgment from the first court. Chazer v'tan tainas ganav. Again, he claimed it was stolen. V'nishban, he swore falsely. Uvo edim, and witnesses come again to testify that he himself has it. So my, what's the halacha? Mi amrina, do we say, trei gavne memona kam rachman adlo nishtam iluvei chad memona? Do we say two types of payments Hashem does not impose on the same money? Hashem won't impose both a double and a fifth payment on the same money. But hachachad gavnu, but here, it's one type of payment. It's double and double, or it's a fifth and a fifth. Odilmar, maybe trei mamona, merachmanet, lo nishtam yilubei chad mamona. Maybe Hashem is saying two payments should not have to be paid out on the same principle. And even though it's two of the same types of payments, there is no such thing as two obligations for the same principle. So here again, it's two times obligating for the same principle, so maybe it doesn't take effect. So that Gemara has an answer for it. Tashma, come in here, I can answer that. Amar Rava, Rava said, the Pasuk says, V'chamishiso, Yosef alav, and he will add his fifths to it. It doesn't say just a fifth, it says fifths in the plural tense. That's saying, Ator ripsa chamishios harbe l'keren achas. A person might end up paying multiple fifths for the same principle of money. So Shmami, at least in terms of this question, that if a guy swears falsely that it was lost and he admits, and then again he swears falsely it was lost and he admits, and again he swears falsely and he admits, he'd have to pay three times a fifth. If he swore falsely that it was stolen, witnesses come to disprove him, and again they come and disprove him, he might pay five times double, whatever amount of oaths he makes on it. It's only when it's two different types of payments that we have the law that he doesn't have to pay both types of payments. And in terms of that, we've come up with this novel point that the idea that he doesn't have to pay both types of payments is not that an oath that creates one type of payment doesn't create a second type of payment. It's money that created one type of payment can't create two types of payments.
Rabbi, they didn't have jail in those days?
No, halacha doesn't have jail.
Now, if they had no, this ganiv has no money to pay.
Yeah.
They sell them as a slave. So when they say slave, you say this slave is for sale, and but he's a ganiv.
That's
so
right.
Who's going to buy a ganiv now?
A tzaddik who wants to rehabilitate him. See, they're talking in Congress now, right, of criminal justice reform. They want to rehabilitate the felons and give them the chance to vote. This is an old-time Jewish perspective. We want to give people a second chance and teach them how to be better.
Wash
dishes. A ganiv is a ganiv.
He's kept he caught.
A liar is a liar.
We always try to help them. We always try to help. We believe in repentance. It's the time of Elul. It's tshuva time.
One time, yeah, but repeatedly.
Three strikes, yeah. You wash the dishes to get to pay the bill.
So we're at the two dots on Kuf Ches Amud Aleph.
Get a witness. Wash.
Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing with laws about watchmen. As we've learned, a unpaid watchman is exempt from paying if the object is stolen from his domain. We've been discussing all types of cases when he falsely claimed it was stolen. But if it was legitimately stolen, certainly he would be exempt from paying from that which was stolen from him. What happens if you have an unpaid watchman, the object was stolen from him, and instead of swearing that it was stolen and thereby being exempt, he said, you know what, I'll just pay for it. Then the thief was found. So the halach is, once he paid for it, the double payment is not given to the original owner, it's given to the watchman. Once the watchman paid for the object, it becomes the watchman's object, and he's the one who gets the double. That's the halach. So now the Gemara deals with the following question. Tvua bailim lashomer. Let's say the owners of an object come to an unpaid watchman. They say, give us back our object. Vinishba, he swore that it was stolen. That it was stolen from him. Okay, he's exempt because he's believed in that oath. But then he said, you know what, even though I swore, I feel bad about it. Vishilim, he just gave the money of the object. Then who karagamav? Then the thief was found. So kefalimi. So who gets the double now? Abai amalabala pikadam. Abaye said, the double will go to the owner of the object. And Rav Amar Misha Pikadon Etzla. Rava said, the double will go to the watchman. Abaye Amar Lebala Pikadon. Abaye says it goes to the owner of the object. Because came with Atrichei Bishvua. Since this watchman has made the owner have to go through the hassle of going to the court and making him swear, making the watchman swear. So because he's made him go through the whole process, so the owner is not giving to the watchman the double, because you schlepped me through the process. When do you have the law that you get the double? If you don't make me make you swear, you just gave me the money right away. But here you made me go into court, and we had to have a whole court case, and you swore. And then after you swore, you say, okay, I'll give you the money too. All right, I never gave you the double then. That's however,
50-50.
Rava said, "Let me shop you on that slow." Rava says, "No, the double goes to the watchman because came in the shilame. Once the watchman paid for the object, mikni lakfela. That's when he pays for it. The owner says, you know what? You've been such a nice guy. You paid for it. So if there's a double that comes in, you'll have it. So then he believes that the watchman gets it." The argument here between Rav and Abaye is b'diyuka d'masnisin. The question is how to read a Mishnah. Now we're going to learn a Mishnah in Masechet Bava Metzia. If I deposit to my friend to watch an animal or utensils, when they were stolen, or they got lost, the watchman decided to pay, didn't want to swear that it was stolen or lost, because the sages say that he could have sworn as an unpaid watchman and not have to pay anything. So then the thief was found, he has to pay double. If that thief not only stole, but he also slaughtered, he has to pay four or five. But who does he pay it to? He pays it to the watchman. However, if the watchman Nishba swore that it was stolen, lo ratz l'sham, he didn't want to pay, then nimtza ganav, then we find that it was stolen, misham tishlumei kefil, the thief has to pay double, tavachumach, if we find the thief and he's slaughtered, misham tishlumei rabbi v'chamish, he has to pay 4 or 5, l'mihu misham, who does he pay to, l'bala pikadon, he pays to the owner of the object. So Abaye diik mireisha, Abaye read the beginning of the Mishnah very carefully, and Rava diik miseifa, and Rava inferred his lesson from the end of the Mishnah. Abaye diik mireisha, Abaye read the beginning carefully, because it said, shilem, if the watchman paid for the object, v'lo ratza lishav, and he didn't want to swear, then once the thief is found, the double goes to the watchman. Taima, when do we say that the money goes to the watchman? V'lo ratza lishav, when the watchman didn't want to swear, implying hanishba, but if the watchman swore, and after he swore he paid, even though he paid after the oath, since he made the owner go through the hassle of making him swear, you know, going through a court case, then lemim shalim, who does the double get paid to? Lebala pikadon, to the owner of the object. And Rava diik miseifa. Rava is implying from the end, or inferring his lesson from the end of the Mishnah. Because what was the end of the Mishnah? Nishba v'lo ratza l'shalim. If the watchman swore because he didn't want to pay, then if the thief is found, the double goes to the owner. It says if he swore and he doesn't want to pay, then the money goes to the owner. Time of the Loretz L'Shalim. When does the money go to the owner? When the watchman didn't want to pay. Hashilim, but if the watchman paid, implying Afo Pisha Nishba, even though he also swore, Lemim Ishalim, who does the money of double get paid to by the thief? Lemim Shapikadon, Etzlo, to the watchman, who has the object.
But Rabbi, this watchman here is unpaid watchman.
That's right.
But if it's a paid watchman, it's a different situation, right?
If he's a paid watchman, then claiming that there was a theft doesn't exempt him. He has to pay anyway.
Rabbi, they talk about all the, if he swear, he has to pay double, because they haven't approached the subject that what if he swore and then the witness came, mm-hmm. the two witnesses came, mm-hmm. and he says, okay, I have it, I'll give you back.
No, that's these cases. He admits after the witnesses come.
So what is the payment now?
Double.
It's still double.
That's these cases, right? That's what we're dealing with, right?
So he's really getting triple because he's getting his ox back.
No, you'd only get double. You'd never get triple.
But if you're getting your ox back,
and you'd add one time the value.
You're really getting three times.
Double of that ox. Double of that ox. Another payment of the value of the ox.
Another payment of the ox. Yeah. Yeah. You get the ox and a single
payment. And a single payment, correct. Yeah. So the Gemara says, L'Abaye Kashya Seifa. For Abaye, the end of the Mishnah is difficult, because the end of the Mishnah said when the watchman didn't pay, the watchman's entitled to the double payment, to receive the double, implying if he paid, he doesn't receive the double. Amloch Abaye, I will tell you, no, Hachi Katani, this is the way to read the Mishnah. Nishba, if the watchman swore, v'lo ratza l'shalim kodem hashvua, and he didn't want to pay before the oath, but, eloli achra shvua, but he paid after the oath, still, lemim shalim, who does the money of double go to? Lebala pikadon, it still goes to the owner of the object. Lerava, now according to Rava, kashya reisha, he had a problem at the beginning of the Mishnah. Samlucha Rava, Rava will tell you also, my law is actually what the Mishnah is saying. Hachi katani, this is the way to read it. Shilem, if the watchman paid, v'lo ratza lamod bishvu aso, and he didn't want to last with the oath. In other words, first he swore, but then he said, I didn't want to live with that oath, I'm paying anyway. Then el shilem, then lemi mishalem, then who does the double get paid to? Lemi shapikadon etzlo, to the watchman. So they'll read their laws into the Mishnah itself. Okay, that was that case.
What is he swearing? What is this guy swearing?
That it was stolen. The watchman swears that there was a burglary.
He didn't want to pay.
I come to the watchman, I say, give me back the object that you're watching for me. He says, I don't have it, it was stolen. He says, I swear that it was stolen. And after he swore that it was stolen, he said, but by the way, I'll pay for it anyway.
But he's obligated, right?
No.
No, that's the part that I...
And then we find
just being a good guy.
Then we find the thief. He was stolen. He was honest
it's
when
because
he stole.
Because he wasn't being paid as watchman.
He was unpaid.
He was an unpaid watchman.
Unpaid.
Watchman.
Unpaid.
Right,
unpaid.
But he paid for
so
the object anyway.
Himself. That's the
so
point.
Then he gets the double back, right? He gets
well, paid. That's the question. If he only gave the principal after the oath, does he get the double or maybe not? Maybe once he made the owner go through the hassle of pulling an oath out of him, he's no longer entitled to the double. That's the argument between Abaye and Rava.
He's been a good guy.
Next question. Tva'ua ba'alim la'shomer. The owner comes to the watchman. Tva'ua ba'alim la'shomer. The owner comes to the watchman and says, give me back my object. V'nishba. The watchman says, I'm so sorry, I don't have it, it was stolen. He swears that it was stolen. Then v'hukar aganav. Then we find the thief. Tavo shomer. So the watchman went and told the thief, hey, you're the thief, give back the object. Vahoda. So the thief says, you're right, I did steal the object. Then Then the owner comes and says, hey, give me back my object. The kafar. To the owners, he denied that he stole it. Then Avioed, the owner brought witnesses that he stole it. So now, will the thief have to pay double or not? Mi nifter aganav b'hodah ha'shomer. Do we say that once the thief admitted to the watchman, so that's a moda b'knas, he admitted to a fine, he doesn't have to pay. Olo nifter aganav b'hodah ha'shomer. Maybe we say that the thief admitted to people who don't matter. He admitted to the watchman. But the watchman's out of the picture, because once the watchman swore and was exempt, he's out of the picture.
But he stole it from the watchman.
Correct.
Not from the
directly
from the watchman.
Correct. But the watchman's no longer a party because the watchman swore and he's exempt. So admitting to someone who's not a party doesn't mean anything.
Because he doesn't get paid. The watchman's not paid. That's why
the watchman was unpaid. That's why he was out. Yeah. So Amarava, Sarava said, "Im be'emes nishba." If the watchman swore honestly. In other words, what he said was exactly the case. He said it was stolen from him out of his control, and it was stolen out of his control. Nifter aganav b'hodah ha'shomer. The thief who admitted to the watchman that he stole did in fact become exempt. Why? Because what's the point? When would someone be exempt? If I admit to the one whom I owe that I owe him the fine, I'm exempt from paying the fine. Moda b'knas is pater. So if the watchman was fully honest, the owner of the object, once he will get the object back from the thief, will give it back to the watchman, because the watchman was fully honest. So that means that the watchman is still the watchman. Even though the watchman's not paying, he's still the watchman. So since he's still the watchman, so admitting to him is like admitting to the owner. However, in b'sheker nishba, if the watchman swore falsely, right? Let's say he said that it was a theft that he couldn't control. It turns out it wasn't such a terrible theft. It was a theft that a person could control. So then lo nifter agana b'hodah ha'shomer. Then the thief who admits to this watchman is not exempt, because since the watchman was somewhat dishonest in what he represented, the owner is not going to want to continue with him as the watchman. So since he wouldn't want to continue with him as the watchman, so he's no longer in the picture. He's not in the picture from any front. He's not in the picture because the money's not going to be paid to him because he got himself off the hook with an oath. He's not in the picture because the object would not be returned to his domain to watch it because he was a little bit dishonest in what he represented. So then the fact that the thief admitted to him is meaningless. And therefore, the thief would still have to pay double.
So we consider the watchman like a shaliach, an extension
correctly,
of the owner.
Correct. When would we still consider him a shaliach? If he was honest the whole time, that the owner would want to keep him on as a watchman. Boy, Rav asked the following question. Amad li shava b'sheker. Let's say he made a claim that wasn't 100% honest. He was going to swear about that claim. V'lohi nichu, but they didn't let him do so. So mahu, what's the halacha? Since at the end he didn't swear falsely, that means he stays in the good graces of the owner. Or maybe since he wanted to swear falsely, he has lost the good graces and he's no longer the shaliach/shomer of the owner. So take, we don't know. Rav Kahana Masni Hacha. Rav Kahana taught the lesson of Rava like this. But Rav Tevyumi Masni Hacha. Rav Tevyumi had a different version. Boy, Rav had the following question. Nishba Lasheker Mahu. If a watchman swears dishonestly, so what's the halacha? Do we say that the watchman is still a watchman, even though he was dishonest in his representations, and therefore an admittance to him is an admittance to the owner? Or do we say, since he was dishonest, he's not a watchman in Teku? Rava didn't know the answer to that question. Next question. Tva'ua bailim lashomer. The owners demand the watchman return the object that he's watching. Vishilim. And he said, you know what, I'm not going to swear. I don't like the idea of swearing. I'm paying it to you. Hukaraganov, it turns out that there was a thief. Okay? We know who the thief is. Tvahua Bailim, the owner who's no longer entitled to the double, demands the thief to pay it. Vahodin, the thief admits to the owner. Then Tvahu Shomer, then the watchman who had paid and therefore acquired the rights to the double payment, demands it from the thief. The coffer, he denied it to the watchman. Vahaviadim, and the watchman brought witnesses. So now what's the law? Nifter ganav bodas bailim. Do we say that the thief who admits to the real owner is exempt because he admitted to the claim? Or lower, since the real owner is out of the picture, because his money was paid, so he's out of the picture, so his admittance to him is nothing. So mi amina matzi amarle shomer la bailim atun kibun de shaklitu luchudami istaliku luchumahacha. Can the watchman say, since I paid for the object, so now you're completely out of the picture? It's me. And therefore, it's all that matters is what happened with me. Or maybe the owners can say, the same way you were doing us a favor by paying for it. We're going to do you a favor by trying to collect the money. We are running after the ganav, and we are your shaliach, as Kim said. We are your shomer. We got from you very nicely. We took our piece. Now you take the principal from the thief, but you're not entitled to the double because he admitted to us. So Teku, we don't know what the answer is in terms of that question. Okay, we'll stop.
This could take a week.